Father, thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus paid it all. And because of that, we owe you everything. I thank you so much for your church. This morning we celebrate you. We celebrate the Lord's table later on this morning. We celebrate the fact that we are the body of Christ because of the blood of our Savior. And so, Father, I pray this morning as we enter into more worship around your word, that you would speak through your servant, and of course, in your word and through your word to us. And I ask that we come away changed as a result of encountering you this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how many of you have been following the playoffs that carefully. I know that a lot of people in Winnipeg have been. And I also know that a lot of people have been downtown recently. The whiteout parties have been quite amazing. I don't know, has anyone here been to the whiteout party? Just curious. There's a few of you, right? Yeah, been to whiteout. Isn't it fun to be down with a bunch of people that are excited about the same thing? I was watching yesterday with the Nashville game, and they cut back to the MTS Center, and you'd swear, of course, the game was in Winnipeg, right? And I love it when other places, other cities try to claim that they have the best fans. Because it's quite clear that it's not borne out by just ginning it up for one playoff series or everybody showing up and banning other cities from even, people from other cities even buying tickets because you're too scared of too many Winnipeggers showing up in Nashville. But, this has really been amazing for me. I'm going to, full disclosure, I'm a Vancouver Canucks fan. Please don't boo me, okay? But let me explain to you what happened there. I grew up as a Winnipeg Jets fan when I was a kid. I was a huge Winnipeg Jets fan. My favorite player was Bobby Hull. And I wore his number when I played hockey because I was such a big fan of his. My earliest memory is meeting Bobby Hull. And I remember this big man with these big Ray-Ban glasses shaking my hand. And that's why when Mark wears that retro jersey, it means something to me. Because I remember going to the games in the WHA, winning the Avco Cup. I remember the line, the best line in my opinion in the history of hockey, was not Gretzky and Curry. It was actually Hull, Nielsen, and Hedberg. I don't know if you guys agree with that. If you've ever seen them play, it was phenomenal. Scored 1,690 points in four seasons. And the Winnipeg Jets were actually the precursor to the Edmonton Oilers because they patterned their team off that line. And I remember that. And then I also remember when they joined the NHL and how devastated I was because they gutted the team. Not like the Vegas Knights coming in and being Stanley Cup contenders right away. They took all the best players and got rid of them. And that's the reason I stopped cheering for Winnipeg, by the way. But I'm getting back on the bandwagon, I think, because I really like this team. It's great. I feel that sense of we are. And I grew up in Manitoba, was born in Manitoba, grew up cheering for that team. And I remember thinking to myself, as I was watching it last night, about how people love to be in community. Isn't that true? People love to be where people want to be. And so you're standing out in the middle of a street, or you're in a stadium and it takes you forever to get there and get back. Why would you do that? Because you want to be where people want to be. In other words, there's this sense of community that people are yearning for, longing for, and sports brings it out. And it's a fun thing. It's an amazing thing. We in Winnipeg have this term called True North, right? Whenever they sing the national anthem. And everybody belts it out because that identifies the team and the fans of the team as being from Winnipeg. And it's awesome. And I know that many people have, you know, other affiliations, other favorite teams. Bruce cheers for, I won't even mention the team. The Habs. Troy and I share, cheering for the Canucks and other teams. But you know, when we're here, when we're authentic and when we're real, I think that, it really draws people together. You know, it really does. And I was thinking about that with respect to the church of Jesus Christ. This morning, the title for the message I have is called We Are Church. And there's a greater sense of identity, of course, than whether or not we cheer for the same sports team or whether we're from the same city, or whether we have the same interests, or whether we drive the same model of car, or drink the same kind of pop, all these kinds of things are out there, right? But the reality is, those are superficial things. And according to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about the true identity that a follower of Jesus Christ has, and that is that we are one in the body of Christ. We are church. Isn't that awesome? And I believe in the day and age that we live in, when we're seeing a lot of changes, a lot of them not positive. We're seeing the world, abandoning some of the principles that our country was founded on, Christian principles. And Christians are feeling that sense of being an alien in their country, an alien in a foreign land. And I believe that we, our church, is going to be more important in the years ahead. I really believe that. And I believe that we can learn from what Jesus told us and taught us in John 13, which Allison was sharing as a great lead up to the message this morning during our announcements time, about how Jesus came to serve, to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus went on to say in John 13, 35, that by this the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What an amazing verse, right? And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read about the body of Christ and how we are church. And I want to use that as a spur and as encouragement for you this morning. Because we, as the church of Jesus Christ, have only begun to do the work that he's put before us to do. There's so much to do. This summer, we're going to be having summer services. And throughout the year, we have the regular ministries of the church. And some people say, well, do I have to? And I say, no. It's not a matter of do I have to, do I not have to. It's do I want to, do I see the value in this? And that's what I want to focus on. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to begin by reading the first few verses there. Just reading verses 12 and 13. Let's just take a look at them. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some Gentiles. Some of us are Hab fans, and some of us are Dallas Cowboy fans, and some of us are Canuck fans, and some of us are true Winnipeg Jet fans, right? Some of us are from this background, that background, right? Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles. Of course, that's a lot deeper than a sports affiliation. Some of us are slaves, and some of us are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. We all share the same Spirit. I want you to just chew on that. We all share the same Spirit. So you are closer in relation to someone who is born again and a part of the body of Christ than you are to your own flesh and blood, than you are towards anybody who has the same level of interests that you do, or personalities might feel like they mesh. It may feel that way in our human condition, but the long trajectory of it is that we're going to be together forever with those who are in Christ because we have the same Spirit of God. Where did that manifest itself or show itself up in the first place? In the upper room in Acts chapter 2, right? When the Holy Spirit came in power, what did it say in the Bible? It says, he came and it appeared like tongues of fire over top of every single person. That beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised in John 14, and he said, the Holy Spirit is with you and will be in you. There he was in them. That's the body of Christ. That on that basis, the church is truly the most beautiful place on earth. Even if we don't always share the same interests, or we don't always have the same personalities that equally mesh, or that we have the same ideas about everything. Because we have something deeper, something more fundamental. We are church. I wanted to just this morning highlight just a couple of people, a few people. I'm going to bring one up, and the rest I'm not going to. I'm going to bring a couple up. Sorry, and a couple I'm just going to highlight from the platform. The first I want to ask to come up is Karen. Karen's sitting in the back row. Karen, naughty girl, should sit in the front row, right? So, anyways, Karen's coming up, and Karen's new to our church in the last few months. But you know what? I ran into Karen not too long ago. Well, it was a little over a year ago, because Karen and I actually have a connection outside of Centerpoint Church, right?
Yes, we do.
And what's the connection, Karen, that we have?
One of the kids I do respite for, their backyard is connected to yours.
They just moved in just a few months ago. And the special thing that she does with this boy, and his name is Luke, is that Luke is autistic.
Yes.
And so you do respite for Luke.
Yeah.
And I know Luke from knowing his dad when my oldest son, who's autistic, was going to the same school, and we would arrive early to pick them up because we wanted them to get out of the classroom before all the other kids came out and it got too noisy. And so we had a chance to chit-chat. And then one day, Luke's dad, whose name is Jordan, said to me, "Yeah, we're moving. We're building or we're buying a house." And I said, "Well, where?" And he said, "Whatever number, Rick Boychuk Bay." I said, "Well, that's where I live." And he said, "Yeah, but," he said, "don't you guys have a pool?" And I said, "Well, we're getting one put in. We don't have it yet." And then we found out later that they're right behind us. And so Luke, being autistic, you know what I love about Luke is? He gets on the back deck and he can see me. And he goes, "Pastor Glenn, can I go swimming today?" Guess who's coming over this afternoon?
Yeah.
Luke's coming over this afternoon. He's seen the pool. And Jen, his mom, is like, "Luke, just calm down. Wait." And I'm like, It's okay. I totally get it, right?
Yeah. But he told me Thursday he was going to your house to swim today.
See, there you go. So isn't this great connection that we have? But now Karen has been coming to our church and is getting more involved. And we've been actually talking about maybe some stuff for Christmas. You've been looking into that with Mark, right?
Yeah.
So we've got opportunities. Karen to me represents someone that's new, but also someone who I've had a deeper connection with. And I think that's the way we often find it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And do you find it welcoming here?
I actually came to this church because I met Charlene at DDC, because Luke and I came to DDC for 2 weeks. And then she said, "Oh, you should come. And I'm like, yeah. And then we went to Women of Integrity, and I met up with Jen and Allison and Charlene, and then they were all like, "You've got to come." And so then I came, and here I am.
Wonderful. Well, thanks a lot, Karen. I thought I was going to give you just a little short interviews for different people, and I'll do that throughout the message this morning. Karen to me represents someone that's the arms of the church, or in some ways the caring part of the church, the heart of the church, maybe is a better way to put it. And you know, do I connect with what Karen does? Well, on a personal level, of course I do. What did Jesus say? "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me," he said. I connect with that because I have a special needs child as well. I know what Jordan and Jen go through on a daily basis. And I'm more open to that, right? So when the neighbor's kid says, "Can I swim in your pool?" I'm not like offended by it. I'm like, what's up with those parents? Why can't they control their kid? I'm more like, I'm amazed he waited until Thursday to ask, right? Because I know, actually, he didn't wait until Thursday to ask. He's been asking for weeks. I know, because he can see it. You know, when we think about church, shouldn't we be about that? Shouldn't we be about the Lukes and the Joshuas, my boy, and the Karens that care for them and other people? Shouldn't we be about that and say, you know, when we look around and we see like, you know, a Jordan and Jen who have a great church family, they go to a different church and they're heavily involved there, which is awesome. But, you know, when they come into church and you look at them and you say, you know, somebody should really do something and you don't know what to do, right? Well, if we all have the same spirit and we're all baptized into the same body by the same spirit, then we're one together. And sometimes I know I know when it comes to say special needs, it's tough, right? Because you're afraid to even approach because you don't know what to do. And I live in that world, so it's easy for me, right? Like I walk into Joshua's class with a few other kids that are at the same level of disability. He's on the severe end of autism and the spectrum there. And I just walk in and they're like, "You're so easy with these kids. You just like, just, they love you." And I'm like, yeah, but well, like kind of my doctorate in this because I've been doing this since I was like, you know, since Joshua was a little baby. But people are afraid, right? Because it's different, it's new, and you're like, I don't know what to do. But one of the things we can do when we're seeing a need is we can talk, maybe talk to the person and say, "Hey, look, I just wanted to say, I'm just so glad to see you here." And if you're saying maybe just by being there, I know with myself sometimes when Josh was younger and we'd be in the let's say a Polo Park or something and he'd have a meltdown. You know, sometimes all you really want is just someone to just stand there and be there. Just like, "It's okay, got it." Just stand there, be there. Don't need to do anything, don't need to touch the kid. But you're like, "But I didn't know to do that." I know. So we, as the body of Christ, we learn and we grow. And here's the thing I think, is that God brings us people that are special. And I really believe the term special, like Luke and like Josh and others. Because he wants to teach us something, right? That it's not about us. You come to church, and if it's about you, you know what eventually happens? You get dissatisfied. You go, "Music sucked this morning. It was terrible." By the way, it didn't suck this morning. It was great. As far as I was concerned, anyways. Oh, well, this didn't go right, or the pastor was off this morning, or I didn't like that guest speaker, or how come the programs of the church are falling apart, and why is this happening, and why did we purchase that anyways, and we should be doing this, shouldn't we? And you start to get all these ideas about what, and those things, there might be legitimacy to some of those things, and it's not saying that we never, ever bring our opinions to bear and that we can't do things better, but what kind of attitude do we bring to church, right? What's our heart? What do you think the heart of Jesus would be if he walked into church? Do you think his way of doing things would be different than what we would normally expect? Probably. And Jesus' heart, you know, when we look here in John or in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that the human body has many parts, but many parts make up the whole body. What happens when a part of your body is missing? Like a hand, a foot, a nose, an ear. We use the term disabled. Don't we? Very easily. Or sometimes we use the term disfigured if it's a part of an ear or something like that. In our politically correct world, we don't like to use those terms, but they're common in our mindset. Think about it this way. If somebody is a part of the body of Christ, but they're not welcome in the church of Jesus Christ, do you think maybe then the body is missing a part? So if the body's missing a part, then would you say that the body is disabled? So a church that doesn't include all the parts that God wants them to include, including the more unpresentable parts, and we're going to read about that as we move through the chapter, is a disabled church. You think about it that way? You ever thought of it that way? It doesn't mean it's an easier church. It was never meant to be easy. When you see a need and you're thinking somebody really should do something about me, maybe that someone is you. Somebody really should step in and help or take that, you know, person and approach them, but I'm too busy. But I don't feel inadequate. I don't feel adequate enough. What if I make a mistake? We all feel that way sometimes. But I think the worst thing to do is to do nothing. You say, well, that's what we pay the pastor for. That's what we pay him for. I got a book by a friend of mine that gave me a book and said, can the pastor do it alone? And I joked when I got the book because the kids saw the book and I said, yes, I can. No, I was just joking. Can the pastor do it alone? Oh, absolutely. I can do all. No. You know, if this church were to grow, and we are growing actually. We're a growing church. We started off quite small. We're a bigger church now. If we grow in the future, I won't be able to do all those things, right? I mean, I'm only one person. We need the body to do this. What are we doing this summer? We are going on summer number 3 on reaching our community for Jesus Christ and getting serious about it. And I know it's tiring at times, but you know what? You've got an attitude that you could say, hey, either you're going to jump on board and say, yeah, we get to do this even better than last year, or like, oh, no, not again, right? I don't think that's the attitude of our church, but that can become our attitude sometimes. What's your heart? What's the heart of Jesus? That he wants that none should perish, but all should come to salvation. How do you do that? How do you do that? You look at your community, you look at the things that God's put in front of you, you say, is there a Luke, is there a Josh out there? Are there those people out there? I say, how can we bring the message of the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ to these people, and what do we need to do to make that happen more effectively? And I think that that's why a church that's on mission to do that is a more unified church and a church that experiences the presence of God more powerfully. And isn't that what we all want? Don't we want that? We're going to have bumps. We're going to have mistakes. We're going to do things wrong, but we're going to learn from them and we're going to grow. Going on, reading on through this same text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, yes, the body has many different parts, verse 14, not just one part. And if the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Each church family member here then is part of the grand story of God's, you know, amazing grace to us. If you've ever stubbed a toe, or you've ever got something in your eye, or you've even got a blister on your finger, you notice that part of your body a lot more because it's hurting, right? Don't you notice that? And you say, boy, I really would like to have the use of my index finger back again, right? I really would like to be able to walk without limping again. Those parts may be less presentable than some of the other parts, but they're no less important. I want to talk about another member. I'm not going to ask him to come forward, but you can see him sitting in the back booth. Just wave, say hi, Nate. Nate is a behind-the-scenes guy. He's not Mr. Super, he's not me, he's not super talkative, but he is a core part of our church, been here since he was knee-high to a grasshopper, since he was a little baby, and he's been a member of this church for a long time, and he is as committed to this church as anybody you'll ever meet. And Nate is back there, and he's the one running the slides and running the PowerPoint, and the only time we ever notice Nate is when he doesn't do it right. How many of you ever seen that meme that says the view from the church sound booth when something goes wrong, and it's all those seagulls from Finding Nemo? They're all looking back at you, right? Mine, they're all looking at you, and you're like, ah, and you're like frantically trying to click. And you know, when the Skype didn't work out a while back, you guys are like, what's going on? And it's not easy, right? And then people walk away and they're like, how come I was so long in the nursery? And I'm like, well, because we had some Skype issues, and then I got preaching, and then I started talking too fast, and then the people in the nursery were like, when is he going to be done? And I'm like, because we had a technical glitch, right? Something happened. You know, we just kind of expect everything to go boom, 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 boom every Sunday morning, right? And we can say, how was church this morning? Oh, it's terrible. Why? Because it went too long. And you're like, well, you can blame the internet. You know? No. And we make mistakes too. We all do. But where would church be without Nate or the people that serve back in the booth back there? How would the quality of what we're learning, and you wouldn't be able to see that, you know, Troy comes up with those resilient, building an unshakable faith, all that stuff, right? So we're going to talk about that as we move through. They're the hands and the feet. Oh, by the way, you know something else Nate does? Nate shovels the walk. In the winter. Did you know? Nate does that. Thank you, Nate. We love you. Nate's like, why are you mentioning me? He doesn't even want to be mentioned, right? Some people are like Nate. They don't want any public attention. Why am I mentioning Nate? To embarrass him? No. So that you know there are lots of Nates that are needed in this church. You see the sign-up list here. Like, I'll get to it next week. Like, we really need people to host tables, to be able to serve and do setup and tear down. All these things that are needed. If someone doesn't do it, guess who ends up doing it? The couple of people that are busy in the pastoral staff. That's what ends up happening. You don't want that, do you? Would you rather have me running around like a chicken with my head cut off? To use a farming phrase. Mama used to always say that when I was a kid. Running around going like, or like being able to focus on, you know, what needs to be focused on those Thursdays. And everybody's saying, you know what? I have a really important part to play. I got to do setup. I got to do tear down. Or you come to do setup and you're like, all these people were there. And you're like, well, they didn't need me. I won't be back next week. Instead saying, hey, I'll fellowship with some people and I'll come back next week. Because you know what? People, you know, come on certain weeks and don't come. And if we all chip in, how amazing is that? We need people to help out in the practical ways. Oh, and we also need people to help out in ways that touch us as soon as we get into the church building. Verse 21 says this, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. You know, one of the most necessary parts of our body are those who do the greeting and take care of our cafe. They are. How many of you like coffee in the church this morning? How many of you got a cup of coffee? Raise your hands. Hey, I love the coffee in our church. And how many of you got a greeting when you walked in the door? You know, somebody walked in and they shook your hand. Greeters, and then the ushers that come forward and they give you bulletins and they take the offering plate and, you know, and of course deal with even if there's a security issue during the service, which we hope we don't have, but they're there. They're security for our church. They watch what's going on. We need people in those roles. We call that our Centerpoint Connections Ministry. One of the people who does a lot of work is, and she doesn't want to be brought up forward, but I just wanted to say wave hi. Grandma June, where are you? Grandma June. She's back there, way back. She knew I was going to mention her, so she's like hiding out in the back. Grandma June isn't a public figure as well. June Dambrink. I always get I mispronounce your last name sometimes, but I know who you are. But Grandma June, as we call her, takes care of the coffee in our church. And she's here early every morning. And where would we be without people like June? June is part of our church family, been here for a long time, and she loves people. She's got a smile on her face and a hug ready, and she is the, I think, like the arms of the church. If Nate's like the feet of the church, then she's like the arms, the hug of the church. And there's other people that serve in the same role. Maybe you're thinking of yourself and going, I feel like I kind of connect with what June does, Nate does, or with what Karen's doing, or with anyone else that's serving in the church, and I want to be a part of it. See, here's the thing. You never feel a part of something until you actually get involved. It's like going to a Winnipeg whiteout party and wearing just your regular clothes. Nobody does that, right? When you go, you want to be part of what everybody else is doing. Because you're a part of it, you're investing in it. So you go out and you buy yourself a Jets jersey or whatever, or a shirt or something like that that says Winnipeg Whiteout on it. And that's a superficial thing. What about in the Church of Jesus Christ? Isn't it much more powerful? Don't you find that? So you're serving. We've got people on the worship team. There's a ton of practice hours that go into that. And they're there faithfully. The vocalists and the musicians are there faithfully serving, and they do it because they want to. They're joyful in their service to the Lord. The communion gets set up. I don't put the juice into all of the different little cups and set it up. That's taken care of by volunteers in the church. And a church grows when people buy in. That's what we call serving the Lord with gladness. We're church, aren't we? Maybe you're saying, what part can I play? What part can I serve in? We're not necessarily talking about people getting the front page news or being involved in, you know, all these public ministries. What's needed is people that have a great heart like Jesus did. And I believe we do. And I believe that God may be calling you, if you're not involved, to step up and help out in some practical way. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, and the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts that do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for each other. If any one part suffers, the parts suffer with it. And if any one part is honored, all parts are glad. I don't need to stand up here on Sunday morning and tell you about the importance of the preacher and how you should honor the preacher. The Bible talks about those who bring the word in 2 Timothy or in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, no, not verse 8. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Talks about them being treated with double honor. I could preach on that passage or whatever. But you know what? I know that a lot of you speak very well and kind towards me. I don't need to be up here talking about that. I want to talk about those that set it up. I want to talk about those that are involved and they do so much work. And if they weren't there, you'd really miss them. But you don't really notice them either. Or you don't notice them as much. Kev, come on up. Kev Radke is going to come up. I'm going to ask Kevin to, Kevin's newer to our church as well. Kevin plays the guitar. How many of you know Kevin, right? You guys know Kev, right? And some of you haven't talked to Kev, but Kevin's been playing guitar for the last several, well, over a year now. You still got your little click track thing in, right? There. Kevin, how did you get involved in guitar in the first place in our church? Who invited you? You know who?
Well, I've been friends with Mark since we were like 5 years old, so.
So Mark's like, we have need of thee, right?
He kind of tricked me. He said, why don't you just come in and just jam with Luke?
Yeah.
And turned into a rehearsal. And
yeah, we leaders have our ways, right? Yeah. Yeah. And so you got involved, and then you felt the sense of like, I like what's happening here, and you wanted to join on the team. Now, when you joined on the team, how adequate did you feel in your guitar playing?
Well, it's been a lot of years, actually, since I used it regularly, so it's been really great to inspire me to, you know, work at being excellent and want to serve.
Would you say that 12 months ago your guitar playing was a little step below what it is today?
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, Kev talks to me about hours that he spends practicing. Now, you don't notice Kevin's not in front. He's not doing guitar solos, you know. He's not, you know, out in front. But if Kevin wasn't there, you'd notice it. You'd notice it. And we've got other musicians that are training. And it takes a lot of work. Like, this is hours and hours of work over the last 12 months. But you do it. Why? Why do you do it?
It's something I can do, and I love to serve because it's a gift, and we're to use our gifts, and I just have joy doing that.
See, like, the body of Christ needs people like Kevin, right? And Kevin, thanks a lot, bud. And, you know, it needs people like Kevin. Needs people that are going to, you know, spend that time and effort, and he's not front and center. He's in the background, but we need people to do that. Because if they're not there, and they're not involved in practicing and all those things, then we as the body suffer as a result. How many of you appreciate our worship music ministry, right? Give them a hand. Give them a hand. I mean, every week, right? People serving. We could give a round of applause to all those other ministries that have been mentioned as well. And for those that have less honor, aren't in public, we need to take special care to mention them because we love them. And they're a part of the body, and without them, we would be walking with a terrible limp. We'd be walking with a lot of pain. But when we're looking at the body of Christ, here's the challenge I have for you is, what part does God want you to play? Maybe you're playing a part, and you're like, I'd like to play a different part. But the part that you're maybe thinking that you would like to play isn't the one that's necessarily in front of you. Let me give you just a quick close here. We're going to get to the Lord's table. 11 years ago, I was in the ministry. I was pastoring in a church in Ontario. It was 12 years ago now. And I left the ministry in order to get help from my oldest son, Josh. And I found myself in the pew in the church, sitting where you are. You know, Pastor Glenn, no longer pastor, just regular old Glenn, showing up in regular old church and people saying, what do you do? And I'm like, stay-at-home dad. That's what I'd answer. And then I eventually got involved in some part-time ministry. But even before that really all started, you know, I just tried to just kind of low-key it because I didn't really feel like, you know, I wanted to give the Lord his timing. My kids, I wanted them to grow into the point where I could, you know, have them in nursery school at the very least. And so I was in that role, and someone finally one day said to me, so what do you do anyways? And I was like, well, a part-time pastor at a small church in Morris, because that was the only place I could really find that was looking for somebody, you know, part-time, that would fit my schedule. And it was a church that was, you know, small church. Everybody in the church was, there was about 30 people on a good Sunday. You know, they were just looking for someone to pastoral care for them, you know. And I was by far and away the youngest person in the church. But, you know, I love those people. And I came to this church, and one of the questions was asked, what do you do? And I told my part-time pastor. And the next thing I know, someone said, well, it was actually at the time, it was the lead pastor of the church, said, would you be willing to preach on Father's Day? I never asked. I was asked. I wasn't like, I'm a pastor. Do you have an opening? I just waited. And I looked, and there was a need. And then there was another need. And then there was another need. And we serve in the areas where we're needed, right? And there are some things that aren't glamorous. And there's some things that, you know, we do that we're not going to get recognition for. But we don't do it so that we can get the recognition. We do it because, why do we do it? Because we are part of the body of Christ. And where there is a need and where there is a hurt and where there is someone needs to step in, we all do it. And you know what happens to a church where everybody's buying in? Guess what happens? We then tell others about the great things that are happening at church, and then other people come because they hear about what you're excited about doing, and then more things happen, and more people come, and it becomes a place that grows. I want to close with this. On what basis are we a part of the body of Christ? We have his Spirit. And I want to show a video in just a second. I want to show a video on the table of Jesus Christ. This represents our oneness in Christ. It is by one Savior that we have access to God, right? And it is through his broken body and his shed blood on the cross that we have forgiveness of sin, all of us, saved equally, not some saved more than others. And through this shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, this is the covenant, he said. This is the new covenant, he said, in my blood. This drink, This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This new covenant, what's the new covenant? The Bible says in Ephesians that the sign and the seal of the new covenant is the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that he mentions in Ephesians 4:4. We have one spirit. We endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit, he says, in the bond of peace. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one Holy Spirit, and he binds us all together. And when we accept Christ as Savior and Lord, and that's this table for you, if you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've confessed your sin personally, not just showing up at church, but you've actually said, I'm yours, Lord. And you've said, I trusted your death on the cross to forgive me of sin. I believe in your resurrection to give me new life. And I open my life up to the Holy Spirit coming and living within me and sealing me. The Bible says we are like a seal. The Holy Spirit is like a seal for us, and that we are a part of his family. Brothers and sisters, we did not receive the spirit of adoption just to say we're not part of the family, but we are full members. That is the oneness of the table of Jesus Christ. That's why we do this on a regular basis. I love the table. And then we say, if I'm a part of this, I want to be a part of all of what it represents and all of the ministry of the church. And God, what way would you have me serve and help out? So I want to close the sermon and segue to communion with this song that my wife mentioned to me. And I saw the video and I said, we got to watch this video. It's called Come to the Table by Sidewalk Prophets. Let's watch.